Truly, that is a good thought. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen.
It's amazing how much the Lord loves us. So glad you're in the Lord's house today. Feels a little strange to be here in the sanctuary. You know, 2 weeks ago, we didn't have any heat in here, and we went to the fellowship hall. And then last week, we started here, but got the tornado warning, so we took off back to the fellowship hall again. So I don't know, but I think y'all paid better attention down there while I preached than so we'll see. But we're glad that you're here today in the Lord's house. Pray that you receive a blessing from God. And let me personally invite you as adults to come and pray tonight and also for church training. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for a new year, new opportunities to draw closer to you, new opportunities to minister, new opportunities to worship you. Father, I thank you for each person that's gathered here in the sanctuary, for those that might be listening in the parking lot, for those that will listen later on the website. I pray that the Spirit of God would touch each heart. Lord, you know what we need, whether it's spiritual or physical or financial or emotional or something in a relationship that we have. So, Father, I just pray that out of your great love, for truly how marvelous, how wonderful is your love for us. Thank you for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and Happy New Year, everybody. We're here starting a new year, and it's all. And while I'm doing the congratulations to people, let's talk about our birthdays. This is what we always do each and every first of the month. And we want to recognize our birthdays and anniversaries for the month of January. The birthdays, Aaron Hartzell, January the 5th, and Jason Keplinger, January the 13th. Did I miss anyone? Just a few, right? We've not quite as many as usual, but that be the case, we're still going to sing Happy Birthday, right, Miss Brenda?
Right.
Give me a key that I can hit.
Right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to
And our anniversaries for the month of January, Mike and Vivian Austin, January the 10th. God bless them. All right, as our hymn sing this morning, I guess if I had to pick out one of my top five hymns in this book, this would be one of them. And that's, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world can afford. And let's all stand and sing on page 550, I'd rather have Jesus.
Silver or gold, and to be a king of a vast domain, or to be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than
you, and remain standing for prayer, please.
It is a good morning to be in the Lord's house, and as the pastor has already alluded to, it's good to see you here in the auditorium here so we can all be together. I'm glad I didn't have to say let's all go to the basement or down to the fellowship hall. In that thought in mind, I thought you might all be wanting to hear what progress is being made on the heating systems here that we've had since we've had a few problems. So I've asked Jeff Kay if he would please, as chairman of the building grounds, to stand and give us an update on where we are heat-wise. I can tell you now, I'm warm, so thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Well, I think everybody's a little warmer today in here. We finally got things kind of situated with the sanctuary here, but they've got all the units replaced except for the one heater that's in the hallway, and it'll be replaced in the morning. The system out there. They will not put the new thermostats in probably until later on that week, but there's new thermostats coming in that program a little different. So anyway, it feels a lot warmer and it's much nicer in here.
Amen, brother. Yep.
And then we're going to go work on the sanctuary and possibly replacing the diesel heater.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. I appreciate that very much. Thank you for the hard work. We appreciate it. Good to be warm. We got a busy day today at church, and this afternoon we'll start. But first, after the worship service today, I'm going to ask the church council if you would please join me down in the fellowship hall at 11, and we have a quick meeting with the church council today. We're also today At 5, the youth will have meeting and supper. Yes, Grant. Okay. All right, so you all heard that if you're going to cancel tonight, but it'll be rescheduled in following Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good deal. Pastor, I yield over to you, sir. Are we going to be 5 o'clock and 5:30?
We'll just cancel ours as well.
All right. So basically, nothing will be going on this evening here at the church. So stay warm at home and travel if you like, whatever you want to do. Yes, Kathy.
Pray for the kids.
Do what now?
Pray for the kids within our school.
Okay.
Yeah, the teachers.
We will do that. We will do that.
Pray for the teachers.
Yeah.
All right. Let's remember there's a lot to pray for. We do have a lot to be praying for. Pray for our nation as we go forward. But I want to bring it up to date now. The Baptist Children's Home offering. Brenda, what was we had the total offering?
This is the donation that was made by Carol.
Oh, yeah.
He's got it right now.
Okay.
In memory of Jerry, but the Lottie Moon was 18.
Yeah, the Lottie Moon. Late Lottie Moon was 18.
For Lottie Moon.
1840. That's wonderful for Lottie Moon. And thank you, Carol, for your donation for the children's home as well. We appreciate that so much. Are there any announcements that I've overlooked?
I need to meet the building ground members just for seriously 1 minute.
Okay. Building grounds, before you go that way, come here.
And Leonard, we might mention about the Baptist Children's Home. Please, everyone, keep in mind that your offerings are matched through the end of this month. So whatever you send is going to be doubled.
Okay. Very good point, Tonda. Thank you very much. So, do all of you understand what Tonda's saying? So, anything you give to the children's home now there'll be a match offering as well. So, if you haven't already donated, please consider it. It's one of the best causes, I think, one of the best that we take part in. Anytime you can help change a child's life and make a life a little bit better for those children, it was well worth our time and effort. All right, if there are no further announcements, we will go into our prayer time. Yes, go ahead, Ms. Rosina.
I just see on here it says that when we'll meet January the 8th, that we will not be having a WIND meeting. We have that canceled. But we will resume our meetings January the 6th. All of our Wednesdays should be done. Thank you.
Rosina, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. So, Benny, thank you for correcting that. That's wonderful. Thank you. All right, Wings, you know where to be. So, thank you for the job you do, Miss Rosina. Keep for our ladies. Okay. If that's all, then I do want to go to the prayer request that I have. I have a few already that have been given. I want us to continue to remember the Chris Wade family, remember Leslie and the children as they are going through a time of loss. A time of mourning and a time of indeed hurt and pray. But we pray for them. I understand that God has already taken control of that issue, Tamara and Lionel, and that they're doing as well as could be expected, or even maybe better than could be expected in this situation. So that's wonderful. God has given them peace and calmness. That's wonderful. Let's remember also, Pastor Jim has asked us to remember his granddaughter Michaela, the family of hers, and they're having some issues, and we need to keep them in our prayers as well. Brother Kenny is missing this morning. Brother Kenny has been sick all week long, and he gets better and he gets worse again. So he told me yesterday he would be going to the doctor Monday if things didn't improve. But let's keep Kenny in our prayers as well. Are there others that I have don't know about this morning?
Better.
Yes. Travis Wilhol? Okay. Family issues?
Yes.
Okay. Are the others? Yes, Bobby. Oh, that's put very well, Bobby. Good to have you back, Brother Bobby. Sure is. Good to see you back there. And good to see that sense of humor is still with you. That's important. So important. Are there others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And like I said, many, many times I'll say, before I ask you, Lord, for anything, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for another new year. Now we're set upon us, Lord, ahead of us. Lord, we ask your guidance. We ask your faith, your wisdom. Help us, Lord, with our deeds, whatever we do, Lord. Let us remember, Lord, this could be a beautiful day for you to come again. And let us live that day as our lesson taught us this morning. Let us live each day as that day could happen today. But Lord, as we go forward in this service today, we pray for Brother Ed as he stands before us today and he brings the lesson to us today. We pray for Brother Ed too, as he's had some issues that a little bit with his blood pressure. But now, Lord, we believe that you've got that under control for him. And we so thank you for that praise report. But then, Lord, we do have those who have we need to mention to you specifically this morning, and we lift them up to you, Lord, today. We pray, Lord, for the Chris Wade family. We pray, Lord, for Leslie and all the children, Lord, and we pray for them. Pastor Jim and his granddaughter's family issue, we lift them up to you. Lord, we ask that you would touch Brother Kenny's body, Lord. We pray for healing for his body this morning, that he'll be made whole again and back to a normal degree of health. The Travis Wilhold family, Lord, we pray for that family. We lift them up. You know the needs of that family, Lord, and we pray for them. And then, Lord, we're so thankful to hear from Brother Bobby this morning in the praise report that he's given us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love and for your caring and for your healing of Brother Bobby. We thank you for that, Lord. Now, Lord, we go forward and we pray, Lord, for those who've lost loved ones this week and the terrorist attacks that we've had. We pray for our nation. Lord, we do pray for our nation, and we lift them up to you, Lord. Now, as we go forward, Lord, we want to say thank you again for your blessings. And this prayer, Lord, I make in your sweet name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a song to sing this morning. I'm going to ask you to sing with us to Christ alone, and I want you to sing with us as we sing it. It's a beautiful song. And got a video for you, and as we all stand in Christ alone, let's do it.
Goodbye.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Children, you are dismissed.
A lot of truth in that little chorus. Yeah, and I hope that it blessed you like it blessed me. Amen. Since we began the church year and a new year and all of that, I thought, let's go back to the beginning of the ministry of Jesus and see something that he had to say. And Jesus did so many wonderful things and healed so many and had so many beautiful teachings, performed other miracles besides healing. Sometimes we forget perhaps one of the very first messages that Jesus preached. So let's first go to Luke chapter 3, and we're going to begin with John the Baptist. Luke chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to be flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of those stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Now notice John came preaching, what did he say? The baptism of repentance. John kept saying, came preaching, repent, repent. And then he goes on there to tell them, your repentance is going to lead to a different lifestyle. Your repentance is going to lead to a different lifestyle. Now go back with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Book of Mark, chapter 1. And verse 4, Mark 1:4, again emphasizes the same thing. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. John says, listen, you need to repent of your sins. You need to realize that your Jewish heritage will not save you. Says, if God wants to, he can take these stones and make Jews out of them. Says, don't depend on that for your salvation. Depend on repentance and a changed life. Now, go on down in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel," or the good news. Jesus came at the very beginning preaching the very same thing that John did. You need to repent. He said, the kingdom of God is here. God's new order of being, God's new order of things to come is now here. And the way you access it is through repentance. Now, what is repentance? Well, most folks say, well, that means feeling sorry for your sins. And that's the start. But real repentance is more than that. Real repentance is a total U-turn. Instead of chasing the things of sin that are sinful and worldly, you chase the things that are of God. It's a total turn around. Now, you know, there are people that are sorry for their sins. They're sorry that they got caught. They're sorry for what it cost them. They're sorry for a lot of stuff. But it's not genuine repentance. It doesn't last. When you think of repentance for sin, what pops in your mind? Most of us start making a mental list. Lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, drunkenness. Well, okay. Do we go on to mention some other things like hatred, unforgiveness, prejudice, seeking revenge? Those also are sinful practices. But you know, the problem with making a list is that it depends on what church you went to, or if you even went to a church. Now, you think with me for a moment. If we had a real, very, very liberal pastor here, he would tell you most of the things that we call sin weren't sin. A lot of the things that we traditionally have said were sin, we said the Bible says they're sin, they would say, no, they're just an alternate lifestyle. They're just fine. They're not sin. And then if I stand up here, I can give you a list, and I named some a moment ago. But if I had one of those independent, fundamentalist Baptist preachers up here, he'd make most of you ladies real uncomfortable. What's sin? You wearing pants? You cut your hair? You wearing makeup? You got jewelry? Y'all guilty. My wife would have been the most guilty one here if she was still living. You know, it depends on what our background is. And usually in those kind of churches, the pastor would tell you as a lady, it doesn't matter if your husband is beating you and the children half to death, you need to stay with him because leaving him is a sin. And that's wrong. That's wrong. So the problem with making a list is that we make the list based on our background. We make the list based on what our family says. We make the list based on our culture. When I was thinking about this yesterday, I got to thinking, back when I was in Bible school at West Albemarle, the last day of Bible school, they'd rent Rock Creek Park pool, and they'd take all the kids, and we'd go down there, and we'd have a time in the pool at Rock Creek. Boys, girls, preacher would get in there and pretend like he was baptizing all of us, you know, and everything. It was quite a thing. And if you learned all of your memory work and had perfect attendance, the week after Bible school, they'd take you up to Granite Quarry, to Granite Lake, and everybody would be there. And that's where Pamela and I used to do some of our best flirting. Now, I talked with a lady who went to another Baptist church here in Stanley County. several years ago, and she was the chaperone for a church group, a youth group from her church. And they went to a youth camp for the week, and it was at some lake, and she said, the boys swam over here and the girls swam over here on the other side of the lake. You see, they thought it was a sin for boys and girls to swim in the same spot. So sin, if we start making lists, sometimes we don't really understand our problem with repentance. Turn with me now to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 3. The book of Romans, chapter 3. A little short verse, verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice it doesn't say, for all have sinned and lied, cheated, stolen, committed adultery, got drunk. It says they have come short of the glory of God. Now, one translation puts it this way. All have sinned are incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us. Another translation puts it this way. All have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. Another one has it this way. All have sinned are in need of the glory of God. Think about God for a moment. Righteous, holy, pure, full of grace, full of mercy, full of love. So awesome. Think of Isaiah. You remember Isaiah 6? It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And the seraphim flew about crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You see, Isaiah realized God is so awesome and so holy. There's no way that I can measure up. And that's what Paul is saying as he writes to the Romans. We fall short of the awesome glory of God. The glory of God, you remember when Solomon dedicated the temple? The glory of God came so strongly that the priest could not even minister. I mentioned a time or two about the Azusa Street Revival down in California back in around 1904, 5, 6. It said the glory would come in that particular building so much that the kids would run around with fruit jars trying to catch it and put it in a jar and take it home with them. The glory of God is so strong and so powerful. And he says, we fall short of it. I thought about it this way. Years ago, Pamela and I went to that big hole in the ground that we call the Grand Canyon. And she'd go over there close to the fence or whatever, you know, where you get real close and look down. I'd get about as close to hear the door. I don't like places like that. She said, come over here. I want your picture made with me. I said, you don't understand, honey. If you want your picture made with me, you coming back over here. I'm not going over there. Now, if you would picture the Grand Canyon, and we're here on this side, and God is so glorious and holy, he's on the other side. Now, Pam's closer to him than I am. we both fall short of his glory. Even if you, I know now they have a place where they have this glass thing you can walk out on and see right down into it. Even if you get on that, you still aren't anywhere close to the other side. You're not close to his glory. And it doesn't matter how far back you run and you jump, you're not going to make it. You can get out there and flap your arms like they're wings, you're not going to make it. There's no way you're going to get from this side to that side without some help. Now, I realize now you could get in a helicopter and go over, or a small plane. But basically, for the point of the illustration, you need a bridge. A long, sturdy bridge that would get you from this side to that side. From where we are to the glory of God. And the only way to get there is Jesus. God knew that we fell short of the glory of God. God knows that in our humanness, we can't get there. But God, in his mercy and in his love, said, I want my people to be with me. I'm going to make a bridge. And that bridge is Jesus. And you see, genuine repentance is the coming to the understanding, I'm here, God's there, I can't get there on my own. It doesn't matter how many churches I'm a member of. It doesn't matter how many times I'm baptized. It doesn't matter how many good deeds I do. I can't get there on my own. But we recognize there is a way. And that way is Jesus. And if we will accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and that's genuine repentance, recognizing our hopelessness and our helplessness. If we recognize that, and then we can get there. We can get there. But that's the only way we can get there. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Pam would have been closer than me. But she couldn't get there on her own. I can't get there on my own. You can't get there on your own. The people that we deal with out here. And sometimes they'll say, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm living a good life. I'm trying to be good to my neighbor and to my family and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's wonderful. But you can't make it into the presence of God except through Jesus. The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other but Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way. But thank God there is a way. God didn't leave us in our hopelessness and in our helplessness, in our misery. We sinned, and it doesn't. No sin is pleasant to the Lord. I've used this illustration before. How many links in that chain holding that light, it's got to break before Robert gets a headache? Just one. Just one. And it didn't matter whether you were a great sinner. I was listening to somebody preach this week, and they started talking about their background and their drunkenness and all the things they were doing before God finally saved them, you know, at in their 20s. And I thought, well, you know, I got saved at an 8-year-old and I didn't do all of that. But I needed just as much of the grace of God as they did. I needed the same bridge that they did. But thank God the bridge is there for that 8-year-old and that 95-year-old. Praise God for that. All have sinned and come short of the glory. Jesus said, repent. Said, the kingdom of God is here. Now it's here. And the way to access it is through a genuine repentance of our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I never realized most of you are Christian. There may be somebody here that's not. And I pray that you would receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior even right now. And walk the aisle and share it with me. At the same time, as you deal with people during this new year, emphasize to them the need for repentance. So many people don't think they need a Savior because they don't think they've done anything wrong. But when you point out to them it's not just lying, cheating, stealing, whatever, or wearing pants or, you know, for a woman, whatever. It's falling short of the glory of God. We don't measure up to Him. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. We can enter into the glory of His presence because of Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. If you're here and you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. If there's someone that needs to just need to come to the altar and pray over some things for the new year, feel free to come. If there are other decisions you want to make, I invite you to come.
If you would please stand as we sing, Have Thine Own Way.
Reminder, building and grounds committee, meet Jeff down here, church council and the fellowship all immediately after the benediction, and nothing, no youth or adults at the church tonight. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you, the Lord give you His peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.